The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do you have a frog in your throat? Well, Egypt and Pharaoh sure did. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us on Grace in Focus. What was that frog thing about? Well, we are in a new series called The 10 Plagues of Egypt. And today, we're going to talk about swarms of frogs. But before we do that, I want to remind you about our National Bible Conference, which is coming up pretty soon. You can find out more about it by going to our website. Go up to the top and click on Events, and you can register right there on the site. What's the site? Faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, David Renfro, and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to the show where we are going over the 10 plagues of Egypt with David Renfro. David, thank you for being with us.
I'm happy to be here.
We've just went over in the last episode, the first plague, water becoming blood, which you were saying, David, was a rebuke. It showed that the Nile, whom the Egyptians regarded as a god,
and worshipped,
and there was associated gods with the Nile, right? In the last episode, you were saying something about a bull.
Hoppy.
And none of them were able to prevent the Lord from changing not only the Nile, but all the water, even in the smallest bucket, all of it turned into blood, and things started dying and started stinking. And yet Pharaoh did not change his mind. His heart became hardened, and he refused to let the Israelites go. And so now we're on to the second plague.
Right.
What is about to happen?
Well, in Exodus chapter 8, in the first 15 verses, is plague number 2. In this plague, it deals with those slimy little animals called frogs.
All right, frogs.
Now, frogs already existed in quite a few numbers in the Nile before this happened.
Now,
and I want you to know that a PhD said that.
I'm from the French part of Canada, and I've had frogs. We used to call French people frogs. That was our insult. And I'm sure everyone was really interested to know that little factoid.
Yeah, very good, John. Frog legs are good. I've had frog legs.
If I go to Quebec, I will not use the word frog.
Don't ever do that. No. If you want to, the French are already extremely rude, but if you start saying that, then you're done for. You're gone. You're a goner.
Yeah.
But so the frogs, why frogs? Okay, so there's lots of frogs, and I guess these frogs have survived the river turning into blood.
Right.
And so what's going on?
Well, once again, believe it or not, there is a goddess pictured. If you go in archaeology back into Egypt, there's a goddess named Hekt, okay. H-E-Q-T.
Okay.
It's a female body with the head of a frog.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't put that on any dating site. It's not going to work.
I cannot. I mean, that picture is so irresistible. I just want to worship it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. But also, the other thing to point out is frogs were considered by the Egyptians as to have some sort of divine power.
Okay.
And therefore, once again, we're dealing with gods and power. And now this plague number 2 is targeting that.
All right. And so the plague is frogs are going to now overwhelm
We're
society.
Not talking just a bunch of frogs at the shore of the Nile and you hear them at night and all that stuff. We're talking about an overwhelming amount of frogs. Notice it says in verse 3 of chapter 8. Oh, first of all, this is the second in the remember the three groups of three plagues.
Right.
The second one says confront Pharaoh, but it doesn't say when. See, it says the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh. It doesn't say in the morning.
All right.
Once again, there's the confrontation. Let my people go that they may serve me. And that you see that with every single plague.
Right.
Let my people go. Let my people go.
And there's an announcement. This plague is going to come so that no one thinks this is a natural occurrence or something that happened by Quinky Dinky.
Right.
He's like, this is what's going to happen.
And then he says in verse 2, if you refuse to let him go, behold, I, meaning the Lord, and that's emphatic in the Hebrew, will smite all your territory with frogs. That word smite is the same word used in chapter 12, verse 27, with the Passover. When the angel passes, or he smites the land of Egypt. Same thing.
It's an underused word. We need to bring that back. I mean, if I'm going to discipline my kids, should I start talking about smiting them? I will smite thee.
That might be overkill.
But notice it says, verse 3, the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, and shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed. Can you imagine slimy frogs in your bed? In the houses of your servants. He's talking about Pharaoh. Pharaoh's house, the big palace, the beautiful place, is going to be overrun with frogs.
In your ovens, in your kneading bowls.
Yeah,
man,
where they make bread.
Absolutely everywhere.
So. This bread's slimy all of a sudden. Yeah. Why is...
Okay, in the grand scheme of things, this is annoying. It's extremely annoying. But it's not like, you know, you're not... The frogs aren't...
You're
like,
not going to die of the frog infestation.
Right.
Right. And therefore, that's why I'm saying this first three plagues in this first group, they ruin your lifestyle for at least for a little while.
Yeah.
But there's no serious illness, no destruction going on. It's just... incredibly irritating.
And so how is this a rebuke of, what was her name? Hecht.
Hecht.
How is this a polemic against
Well,
against
notice
that?
What it says. Verse 6 starts, Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters. The frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Now, when it says covered the land of Egypt, it means not just the banks of the Nile.
Yeah.
These frogs went everywhere, every inhabited area. The idea here is, there was absolutely nothing that the Egyptians could do to control this plague. They could do absolutely nothing. Now, notice also, though, in verse 7, the magicians did the same thing.
Yeah, again, this just kind of blows my mind. The Egyptians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. So,
right.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Well, this is
how
like
can you tell the difference? Do like the Moses brought up frogs? Are they wearing like little hats? And the how do you know which frogs from where from who?
They wore a little lapel pin.
Yeah. So you know, are they branded? Like an M versus a P or something? This is interesting. So they're able to do the same thing. However it happens, we're not sure.
Right. Now, understand at this point, and I think this is an important point to make here, these magicians, call them illusionists if you want to, were able to create the frogs, but notice they weren't able to take the frogs away. And that was in the first plague as well. They replicated that one, but here they weren't able to take the frogs away. In other words, they weren't in complete control of this miracle.
Yeah.
As you're going to see here in just a minute.
But now, interestingly, when Pharaoh saw the Nile and just everything turned to blood, he wasn't impressed. But in this case, even after his magicians are able to bring the frogs out of the land of Egypt, he seems to have a change of heart in verse 8.
Kind of. Notice he says, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. Notice the magicians are not mentioned there. Entreat the Lord. This is the first time that Pharaoh even mentions the Lord, even acknowledges that there might be somebody like Yahweh around.
Yeah.
That he may take the frogs from me. See, that's the issue. Moses, you know, and Aaron with his staff were able to bring the frogs, cover the land.
Yeah.
And at least Pharaoh acknowledged that, yeah, the magicians could create some frogs, but they couldn't get rid of the plague. They weren't powerful enough. They could not command the frogs to go away. But he went to Moses and Aaron and said, please entreat the Lord that he may take the frogs away from me and my people. And I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord.
That's a lie.
And thank you for playing. We have a lovely parting gift here. That is the first of several false promises that Pharaoh makes.
So you think he was lying?
Through his teeth.
Okay.
And I think Pharaoh knew it. He just wanted to get rid of the frogs so his lifestyle will improve.
Okay.
So then Moses and Pharaoh, verse 9, says, I like this part. Notice it says, accept the honor of saying, or literally, honor yourself when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, for your people, to destroy the frogs. In other words, okay, Pharaoh, we're going to give you the privilege of saying when you want these frogs to go away. And so what does Pharaoh do?
Oh, I see. Look at they're saying, you tell us, when do you want the frogs? Again, so he knows, I guess, that this is a deliberate miracle and not a coincidence. You tell us when you want these frogs.
And God will make that happen.
Right? Okay.
At the time you pick.
I see.
This could also be a test to see if the Lord could actually do this at a specific time.
Yeah. Okay.
So look at verse 10. So Pharaoh said, tomorrow. You know, let it be according to your word that you may know that there is no one like Yahweh, our God.
Interesting. Wait. So
Moses is saying that to Pharaoh.
He said tomorrow, and he said, so are these two
he's? No, I think the first he in verse 10 is Pharaoh telling Moses, since you gave me the honor of saying when I want these frogs to go away,
right.
Yeah.
It's tomorrow. So Moses then said, let it be according to your word.
Yeah. So that you may know there's no one like the Lord.
Exactly.
And by the way, this shows that the Lord does want the Pharaoh and the Egyptians to believe in him. This
absolutely.
Is sort of evangelistic.
This is evangelistic to the Egyptians, and it's also educational to the Israelites, God's covenant people. They, after 400 years of living in rank paganism, they needed to relearn this about who Yahweh really was.
All right. So they intercede. The frogs.
The frogs died out of the houses, courtyards, fields. They died. They gathered them in heaps. Can you imagine what that smelled
like? And the land stank. So it's stinking from the bloody river. Now it's stinking from heaps and heaps and heaps of dead frogs.
Right. And what I have here in my notes is God clearly shows that his absolute superiority over the gods of Egypt, you know, and the lives of the Egyptians.
So
who was the only one that could take away this plague?
Yes.
Yahweh. No Egyptian god or goddess
not
had the power.
Not hecked.
And so only Yahweh. And that was supposed to be a testimony to Pharaoh, and not only him, but to the entire people of Egypt, that there's really only one God, and that is the Yahweh of the Israelites.
And now, obviously, Pharaoh was really impressed by this, and he came to his senses, and he's like, absolutely, I'm going to let the people go, and now I know there's only one God. That's how he reacted.
Yeah, right, and, John. No, we have a nice parting gift
parting,
for you.
notice it says, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had said. The Lord predicted all this.
Yeah.
He knew that Pharaoh was going to react this way. Also, I think this brings out a very important aspect of the Lord's character, that he has the power to create life and destroy it at his bidding. The Lord had to literally create frogs out of nothing.
Mm.
And then he was able to command the frogs to go away. Only Yahweh, only the one true God can do that with his creation.
Very interesting, David. I'm looking forward to what you have to say about the next several plagues of Egypt. Thank you very much for being with us in the studio, and please keep on listening to the show. All right, thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys, for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the third and fourth plagues, lice and fleas. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.